Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name's Joe Kuzma, and once again, I am flying solo here, all alone, all by myself, because me and the one brother from another mother that I have, Mr. Bryony Roach, just can't get our calendars lined up here, and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on what you listeners and viewers think, that might be a good thing, but Brian, not retired, not fired. I wouldn't do that to him. He hasn't quit. He's not allowed to. So he'll be back at some point here. And actually, you know, I was conspicuous by my absence as well for the last episode at the end of last week, where Steel Nation Association, Mike Palaya, who's also a contributor here at Steel City Underground, and really that helps tie in how we find people for the underground aspect of this from all corners of Steelers Nation. But thank you to Mike Palaya, who is definitely not a yes guy. If you heard some of his opinions, he's not always in lockstep with everything that we say here with our very unbiased and unhomerish opinions. But hey, everything's not sunshine and rainbows, but some of yin's a done lost your mind out there in Steelers Nation. I don't know if it's just the lack of football, the lack of Steelers football, the end of the year here heading into the Super Bowl this weekend. And just if you want to hear any opinions about Antonio Brown, I have a small piece on Le'Veon Bell, by the way, because he opened his yap just this week in a press conference as well leading up to the big game. Or Bruce Arians as a coach and this and that. Tune in a few episodes ago. I think myself and the professor slash coach Zach Meckler went on an epic rant. And even Zach, very busy preparing for an unconventional spring football college season here with his team. So this is the best it gets. It's me, myself, and I, and I've got some things to say, and apparently Mark Madden does as well. And no, Brian has still not fought Mark Madden. He hasn't lost to Mark Madden and went to, you know, even though Brian does cave dwelling and hiking and stuff like that, he hasn't gone under a rock or anything after a bad trying to save face to a loss to Mark Madden. But Mark Madden, once again, running his mouth. And part of it is just the Steelers make another coaching hire, or I guess promotion here in the case of Adrian Klemm, who will become the offensive line coach and actually will enter his third season with the Steelers. So he was brought aboard 2 years ago as an assistant offensive line coach, which doesn't mean he gets to call the shots, but he's had some success. This guy isn't new to coaching, and he's a former NFL player who won. He has three rings with the New England Patriots. You know, if you consider some of the Patriots staff that he worked on under, including Bill Belichick, there's some learning tree there. He had some time in the college ranks with UCLA. He's an associated head coach, run game coordinator, and also with the offensive line for about four or five seasons there as well. And also as a player, played in Green Bay with both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, you know, you're going to pick out different things to put in your toolbox here. And apparently, you know, the Steelers, definitely they were looking at the gentleman who decided to stay in Detroit and a few others. And this is, I don't want to say settled on. I know a lot of people are like, well, the run game was terrible and the offensive line, it was terrible, and all these different things. Okay, there's some different reasons for that as well, as we know. Offensive coordinator, play calling, and just maybe some guys getting older, not as good as they used to be, playing hurt, turnover at the position as well. They used to have Marcus Gilbert. They used to have Ramon Foster. I mean, it's not lost on me that I thought Mike Munchak was a fantastic offensive line coach, but it's not lost on me that still Mike Munchak hasn't had the same amount of success since leaving Pittsburgh as well. And when you take a look at the overall picture, you know, Ramon Foster and Marcus Gilbert, those weren't guys to sneeze at necessarily either, that have since, you know, moved on. Gilbert traded, of course, and just couldn't stay healthy, unfortunately, and his career has pretty much come to a fold. And Ramon Foster, that was one of the ones that was already kind of being hinted at, and he decided to, you know, also call it a career as well, retiring before the 2020 season, and maybe for a number of other variety reasons. I'm not sure that the COVID bug had just yet hit our nation and people were opting out yet, so that wasn't really one of the reasons. But Adrian Klemm comes in here, and that's about the most I could tell you is what I've been reading up on. I don't know Adrian personally. I have never met him, so I can't say anything ill, anything one way or the other. It's like, hey, let's give the guy a chance. Obviously, he has some experience as a player and a coach at different capacities and at different levels. And also, one of these things that's really, really pretty big here, he was named the Conference USA Recruiter of the Year and the non-BCS National Recruiter of the Year when he was back in the college ranks as well. So, I mean, that's just talking about any just guy they plucked off the street to come and help with this coaching staff, which the big thing was, is Mark Madden says this is a money-saving move. I think Mark Madden is a money-saving mook. There's just some – why? Because he thinks the Steelers are cheap. They're never going to get better unless they spend a lot of money on someone else's coaches. You know, there aren't a whole lot of coaches out there. Somebody has to have a contract that's up. Like Mike Munchak, his contract was up. He fulfilled his obligations with the Pittsburgh Steelers and then moved to Denver to be closer to family. Okay, this wasn't an excuse. This was he called his shot, and there was a spot open, and John Elway said, "Come aboard." And you got to have those type of things happen. It's like people got upset when Hines Ward didn't become the wide receivers coach. Hines Ward was with the New York Jets. He's under a contract and an obligation to a different organization. You just can't go and go start talking to these people without permission. There is tampering. Duh, you can't have that kind of thing happen. So, and by the way, nobody ever gives credit for going outside the organization and getting Ike Hilliard and the job he did with all those wide receivers this year. I'm not going to take my hat off because it gets quite ugly. I don't have hair, but hats off to Ike Hilliard and the job he did. Eddie Faulkner coming from college ranks. Obviously, we know what was it, NC State with Jalen Samuels and how successful they were. And he's a rising star as well. You got a few guys here that really are some rising stars. So maybe, hey, maybe you got more with Alfredo Roberts or Adrian Klemm. You go give these guys a chance. If it doesn't work, the Steelers, they'll move on. They've shown that they can do that. They may still add some more bodies here, but saying that they have that they're being cheap and have the lowest or one of the lowest paid coaching staffs in the entire NFL, they have like a dozen guys. They don't have an army of people. You know, there's 55 players on an active roster, right? Or 53, I'm sorry. You have the extra two for the game days, duh. And then there's some the expanded practice squads and whatnot. But you get my drift. You got about 50 men standing on the sideline. You add another 30. What was it, like, I don't know, the Seahawks or somebody? They have, like, a whole army. Like, it's almost like, you know, how many teachers to a classroom type deal. You know, maybe too many cooks in the kitchen in some aspects. You can't say that necessarily having a larger coaching staff means that any team is any better than anyone. So, naturally, some of these guys might get paid double of what their counterpart might be on a much larger staff. Maybe if you put that the budget was the same thing, there's no salary cap on this thing. You want to be like a terrible team like the Jacksonville Jaguars and lure Urban Meyer away from the desk there for the college, not college game day or whatever the heck he's on, the Fox one or whatever. But, you know, $12 million or whatever the heck he's being paid, it's okay. $100 million for 10 years for John Gruden to come out of the booth too. You know, it's not like Mike Tomlin's paid peanuts. It's not like Keith Butler has been paid peanuts ever, even going back to just being a positions coach, waiting in the wings. So a lot of people wanted to grab this guy and pluck him from the Steelers, and he was waiting and biding his time to become Dick LeBeau's successor, and he's done a heck of a job with that. You know, a lot of people are going to say what they're going to say, but just look at the success that T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree have both had. After, you know, you bring back some former players. Hey, bring these players in. Everybody talks about Ben being an offensive coordinator. We don't know that's going to work. Joey Porter and Carnell Lake didn't work out as positions coaches. They just weren't the right fit over that period of time. Keith Butler goes back to coaching outside linebackers as, you know, doing double duty as a defensive coordinator. And you see what Bud and TJ did the last two seasons, as well as the Steelers, like, leading the league in sacks the last 4 years in a row. They have a streak going that no other team has done in NFL history. Give the guy some credit, will you? So that's the most I could say right now. It has nothing to do with being cheap or being the lowest paid staff. And as far as, you know, Sean Sarrett not being able to maybe live up to Mike Munchak's, you know, success, some of that was a younger Alejandro Villanueva. He's gotten his start late. He's a late bloomer. You know, he was an Army Ranger. He didn't just come out of college and go right into the NFL. And there's some regression there. I still think David DeCastro, he's getting there. He's north of 30 now. I still think he was playing hurt. You know, that happens. You got guys that'll play hurt and are going to gut it out. And a hurt David DeCastro in some cases may still be better than than the alternative, maybe. However, a hurt David DeCastro isn't as good as a healthy David DeCastro. And you could say the same maybe with Maurkice Pouncey. I'm not necessarily digging a grave and putting these guys 6 feet under and putting dirt over top of them just yet. I like what's happened with Kevin Dotson, Chukwuma Okorafor. We'll see if Zach Banner's back in the fold in a year. We obviously know the offensive line needs some work. We obviously know some of the coaching had to staff on the offensive side had to have some shakeups. And these are the things that are happening. So, and just because you may not be familiar with the name, let's face it, how many of you are familiar with the other offensive line coaches across the league other than Mike Munchak, right? Doesn't happen. You're going to get a former head coach to be a position coach as well. Le'Veon Bell. Let's talk about this guy. Regressed down or demoted down basically to third string behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams, an undrafted third-year player in the NFL. And then there's the other guy that opted out. They had another running back in Kansas City. He joins the Chiefs halfway through the season after the whole Jets thing didn't work out. Thought he felt refreshed. Thought he saved his body for what, like four touchdowns? Like, come on, dude. You're just spewing just to spew. You're trying to needle the guys because you're in the Super Bowl, but don't take credit for getting there. That's all on guys like Patrick Mahomes. That's all on guys like Travis Kelce. That's on Andy Reid. That's on Frank Clark. That's on Tyreek Hill. That's not on you, brother. Just it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? So these guys always got to open their mouth and say some stuff. And I know it rattled some people. And I'm just not going to say much more about it. But taking that year off, I'm going to go back a little bit. I do think Le'Veon Bell at the time that he left Pittsburgh, he wants his money. I think he was asking for more. He was biting off more than he could chew. But good for him. He got paid. He got what he wanted, I guess. Maybe not as much as Pittsburgh offered. And Pittsburgh also walked away from someone who regressed and probably would not have lived up to the contract that they had offered him. So it actually worked out for, I guess, both parties. And now he might get a ring. It might still be a participation ring. So, you know, within this whole thing, he's still going to be able to maybe say he was a Super Bowl champion and how much credit that he gives and whatever. I don't need to throw too much shade in his direction, but I think I've thrown just enough that is necessary or required to illustrate the point that why are you saying these things, dude? You feel really happy about like laying back and you know, screwing over the team. It's the way you did it. I have less animosity towards Le'Veon Bell. Then we all kind of said this was probably what's going to happen. You're going to go to a bad team and not perform to the same level, but you'll have a fat wallet. And, you know, that's kind of what happened. And again, good for you. You know, hopefully you're set for life, multimillionaire. I can't knock it necessarily, but it was the way that you kept thinking the guy was going to maybe come back. He makes these little social media posts or just him, you know, Bell on a jet ski or whatever else. And not to mention getting hurt and the team sticking by you through all these injuries and stuff and you rehab and get yourself back. I know you want to – these players want to have some insurance. They don't want to – this is going to be the Bud Dupree thing, by the way, coming up. And it's – he got hurt and it was a serious injury and his career could be over in that one-year franchise tag. While a big lofty number, you're going to go and get something that's a little more security, that big maybe guaranteed deal with a lot of bucks – put into signing bonuses or whatever else and several year deal. The holy grail in the NFL. This doesn't work for every single player, but when you hit a certain star status, Dupree has. He gets after the quarterback. This league is all about quarterbacks and those who get after them. Same thing with TJ Watt. These guys are going to back up the Brinks trucks. I don't know. The running backs, it's a little harder to justify that money. That's a whole different episode that I'm going to get after. But it was more or less Le'Veon Bell just stringing every run along up to the very last minute that he could have returned and reported for the team and then just didn't show up. And he strung everyone along up to week one, the year before. This was after some suspensions and some things that happened off the field too that were tolerated within the organization and supported by the fans that forgave him. So some of us still feel a little bit burnt by all of that. Now, aside from that, and we're talking about big deals and big contracts and things of that nature, Jared Goff and Matt Stafford involved in a huge mega trade between the Rams and the Lions. And I got to bring this up just because we were talking about if Matt Stafford would have been a fit for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I still believe, yes, he would have. 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever you think Matt Stafford could still have left in this league. And his contract compared to anybody else, you know, and it was much more affordable. This trade, a lot of people are talking about Deshaun Watson. I'll bring his name up a little bit, too. It was more or less the Rams with Jared Goff's obscene contract. And there's some of these contracts are, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, as my mom would used to say. Every guy's got to one-up the next guy, and quarterbacks get paid more than anybody else. And that's because you got to have one in order to win. And everybody realizes that. Draft this guy, trade for this guy, understandable. But for the Lions to have taken on the burden that is Jared Goff's contract, that's why there's oodles of picks. What is it, 2 1s, a second rounder and a fifth rounder or something, and a player all involved in this. And when you go back to it, you look at what the Rams did in order to move up to get Jared Goff. And then what they did moving around and moving pieces in order to get guys under the fold, like Brandon Cooks, who was there, what, like a year? And then, of course, Jalen Ramsey. I don't know how you build a team around this. I really don't. Now, I'd be excited to see what Matt Stafford can do with some of the guys like a Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods and some of those guys. So, you know, I'm not going to necessarily write off the Rams' move here. They got from under that contract before. Maybe that got a little sour there, too. And we'll see if the Lions, this is a big albatross to them, too. But they got a bunch of picks to maybe shore up and build around that team. And they're looking to build around Jared Goff as well. But pretty much after the next season, there's some money that could come off the books there if it doesn't work out as well up in the Motor City. So I think a lot of that has to do more with Jared Goff's contract, although the Houston Texans are asking for quite a bit for Deshaun Watson. Yins are all crazy, but I'm going to talk about the other guy with a crazy contract first that everybody thinks is just going to be dumped on his keister, and that's Carson Wentz with the Philadelphia Eagles. New coach there now, Doug Peterson's out. They're thinking the guy that just won them the Super Bowl like 3 years ago or whatever, no longer the savior of the city of brotherly love. They don't love anybody. If you don't produce, you're on the way out. You know what I mean? Don't let the door hit you in the backside. And they're bringing in promoting from within once again, right? Quarterbacks coach without any coordinator experience as well, I believe. Carson Wentz just has an insane contract, and they still got another year or two where they got to figure out if this guy has some of the magic he had before getting hurt, and or else they're stuck. I don't think anybody wants to take on the millions and millions that are there. They might as well just draft their own guy, and they get a little cheap depending on where they go. Usually first round, it's still a decent buck, but let's face it, a guy who goes number one, number two, number three overall getting paid more than the guy that goes number 30, 31, or 32. And Carson Wentz also signed that new deal as well. So some teams just they may not be looking to spend this kind of money on a guy that is iffy, you know what I mean? So I don't want to do it as the Steelers. A lot of people are already complaining about Big Ben's contract, and I heard he said he's willing to play ball. Art Rooney II said we can't enter this season with Ben's contract being what it is, and we're going to find that out within the next month because that roster bonus is due right around the beginning of the league year. What is that, the second something of March or whatever? I got to look it up again. But, you know, we know Ben's cap hit $41 million. That's not his dead cap. It's also not his savings. Savings is around $19 million if he doesn't play. Steelers still taking a hit. That's not unusual. It's happened with guys like Troy Polamalu. Yeah, I understand. Some people are saying Troy was kind of forced out the door. Troy couldn't stay healthy. Troy had hamstring problems. I think he may have had some concussion issues, if I recall correctly, too. But remember, he wasn't on the field as much, and he wasn't the same Troy towards the end. And I know he still had a year left. And I think a lot of times teams, they do these deals knowing, you know, Heath Miller was still being paid an extra season beyond while he was with the Steelers. He retired. I think Troy just felt Troy had more left in the tank. And the organization had to do something different and kind of forced his hand into retirement. And there's definitely animosity there. And I get it. I could see both sides. I don't have to take a side either way. I see them both. If I'm Troy, I'm hurt. You know, giving everything to the organization. The organization is, we got to move on. You can't hold us hostage or handcuff us with this as well. And there were some guys, Brett Kiesel moved on, and then they brought him back into the end of training camp, and he played an extra year or so. And Hines Ward pretty much was down to being wide receiver 4 or 5 on the roster before he was gone. Was it 2013, when they moved on. They had Sanders. They had AB. They still have Mike Wallace, who was sitting out that offseason or training camp as well with, you know, contract disputes and wanting the big deal that ended up going to AB. So these kind of things, you know, we're in uncharted waters. This is a franchise quarterback here, and I don't know what to do. That's a whole other episode that we're going to have to talk about, because the future being whatever it might be, you got two guys, you got three guys at the moment. We expect Ben to maybe be extended. Extension restructure, you know, semantics there, but there is a little bit of difference. You can't really restructure Ben. He's got nothing left to restructure into, right? But an extension, what are they going to do? They might tack on 2 more years here. Does it mean he plays all 3 of the years then that would be on his contract? Probably not. They're just going to try and stretch out that dollar, make that pocket change work a little bit longer and make it more palatable for their salary cap so they could do some other things and bring some other people. And this isn't lost on Roethlisberger either. Ben is a gamer. I guarantee you nobody is hurt more maybe than Ben Roethlisberger with the way the season started, as opposed to the way it fell off and ended. Nobody's happy, either as fans. You don't want to lose to the Browns, Bengals, or Ravens. That's the worst, especially in the playoffs. Regular season, you don't want to lose to them, and especially the way that it ended up going down. And I bet Ben still thinks that he should be able to get one more trophy before he calls it a career as well. And he was in some great shape. I don't know that he has a noodle arm, folks. We saw it off on. I guess we'll have to see what ends up happening with his contract if he returns and what happens with Matt Canada. The other two guys, I said, Mason Rudolph enters the final year of his rookie contract. And then, of course, Dwayne Haskins, who I had a lot to say about maybe a couple weeks ago when that news dropped. Check out that episode as well. So we'll be discussing the quarterback situation a little bit more, but I had to definitely throw a dart at the topic of Deshaun Watson. Could Deshaun Watson be a generational talent? Let me tell you. You've heard me say that Russell Wilson is my favorite non-Steeler before on these shows. And Deshaun Watson's up there, right up there with him for me. He is nothing but a class act. He is a gamer, like I said with Ben. He's mobile. That's something that's highly sought after. I don't think these guys stay mobile for the whole time. I mean, some of these quarterbacks are playing like 15, 16 years, a lot of them, even backups, right? Tom Brady, even more. He's beating George Blanda's records here now, you know, and George played like every position. He's like the Babe Ruth of football for the longest time. It's going to be Tom Brady and George Blanda before it's all said and done, maybe. So I don't expect everyone to play forever and into their 40s, like a Brett Favre, Vinny Testaverde, Drew Brees. You know, these guys, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, he started to fall apart there towards the end. You get old, Father Time knocks on your door and your time is up. And that happens at various levels and various times, depending on the positions you play in the NFL. By the way, Le'Veon Bell going to be entering age 29 this month. So there's another guy to keep your eye on, because I don't suspect he'll still be with the Chiefs next season either. And we'll see how many more years or seasons he has left. But back to Deshaun Watson, you know, still a young man. Let me see. How old is Deshaun Watson? I got to pull this up right here. Deshaun Watson right now is 25. But how much longer will he be mobile? How many more hits will he take? He's been getting hit by like a pinata, like an early Ben Roethlisberger, who, if you remember, extends plays, mobile, everything like that. I get it. Totally. I totally get it. But do you sell the farm? And then what do you have for animals? You just have a bunch of pens and an empty barn. I think that's what ends up happening when people start facetiously talking about trading someone like TJ Watt and a number of first-round picks or anything of that nature. And I don't know that what Houston's looking at what happened with Detroit and the Rams, and I just don't see the similar situation happening here. You see how shrewd the Steelers are, and you know, you're just not going to get one up. It's not like some stooge like Bill O'Brien that just gave away anybody for a bag of peanuts and some Cracker Jacks. This is Kevin Colbert, and he's a master negotiator. We saw what he did when he brought Micah Fitzpatrick over from the Miami Dolphins. I'm sure everyone is bending their ear to hear what the Texans are going to do with Watson, and I guess Watson controls a lot of the keys here when it comes to where he might go, when it comes to clause in his contract, when it comes to trades. I believe no trade, precisely. He's not the only Texans player that's under scrutiny here, though, but what would you be willing to give up for Watson? I don't know if I could give up 2 1s. I don't know. He's got the big deal he just signed, too. That's the other big issue here. That's the elephant in the room. A team like the Steelers, what they would have to lose and sacrifice in order to take on that kind of money at this stage of the game with their organization and their team, I think it would fracture a lot of things, including that great defense that we've seen the last 2 years as it is. So, unfortunately, well, I would love Deshaun Watson to be wearing black and gold. Let's just hope that some team – I saw somebody rumble this one out there. Get Lamar Jackson and some players and bring Watson to the Ravens. I would hate that because Watson, in my opinion, even though he doesn't have the hardware to back it up with the MVP or whatever, for what I feel it's worth, Deshaun Watson is a superior player as far as a passer, right? And, you know, a different type of offense with Lamar Jackson. I don't like to call him a running back that throws the ball. I think that's unfair to Lamar Jackson as well, just to show him the proper respect. I think that's kind of lowbrow type of stuff. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to see Watson swapped in there. You already got enough problems with these Heisman guys. You got Burrow and you got Mayfield and now you got Jackson. I don't want to see Watson replace any of those guys. Let's stick with where it is because the Heisman guys don't always pan out to, you know, their full potential. And you could even maybe – you could maybe even say the same thing with Watson, but man, he's had a rough go in Houston. And I do think whoever ends up with him, he will be the find, much like Drew Brees when he left the Chargers and continued on with the Saints. I think he'll have a similar trajectory wherever he ends up going. I just don't feel, I can't say he's not a fit for the Steelers. That would absolutely be a lie. It's a business. It's a total business reason. And, you know, you have to figure out what's going on with Ben Roethlisberger aside from all the other stuff. The Steelers are still, you know, strapped with the cap. If Ben goes, they're pretty much even Steven from there and still have to find ways to make money, which I think they end up doing. They got some highly paid guys and things like that. We'll be talking about who might be some cap casualties in the near future. But I got to put a bow on this just talking about the other player from the Texans that's rumbling trade rumors and everything else that people are just coming up with, and they think it's really fancy. I don't know why they just don't call it call him Deshaun Watt, son. You might as well just add him into the mix and make it a package with J.J. Watt as well. Let me get some water here because I got a lot to say about this one. The cup's whistling at me. Nice Christmas gift from my kid, by the way. They're the black and silver. It's almost very Raider-ish, but it's the monochrome Steelers coffee mug there. Not drinking coffee today. The brown sludge, as Brian would call it. J.J. Watt, this guy is the Houston Texans, man. He embodies that whole franchise and organization, which, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of history. They were expansion team in, what, 02? So they're going to be going on maybe 20 years. It's still new to me and still not a rich history. You can't go back and say they had a Joe Green or a Terry Bradshaw or a Chuck Knoll or anything like that. The best you could maybe go back and say is, like, you know, Andre Johnson or Arian Foster. You know, you got some guys like that. Obviously, they've had some great players here or there, and they've had their share of success and failure. Bill O'Brien, just not a good GM, and this team's been left in with some bad trades, and they need to make up for it somehow. And, of course, Watson wasn't happy with some of the direction that this team is going as far as their management, and J.J. Watt apparently isn't either. And we see J.J., he's tweeting, he's talking about his brother. You know, I dropped the Hulk Hogan, the brother, earlier, you know, and it's like, come on, folks. There's two Watts. Everyone's still complaining about Derek. Derek played 9 games this year on offense. He may have been inactive for 10, and then he left those games. He left like 3 of those games early. He had just snake bitten by injuries. Why are you paying this guy all this much money? It was cheaper than bringing Tyler Matakiewicz back. I'd much rather spend that money with the fullback position that's versatile as a special teams ace than a, you know, I don't know that Tyler necessarily was a fit as a linebacker, at least Derek, if he gets on the field for 5 snaps, is a fit as a fullback. You know what I mean? But he wasn't available. I think that's part of the problem with the run game too. You know, I talked about Gilbert. I talked about Foster. That's part of the regression. Maybe the coaching, part of the regression. The players, Connor, not always being available, injured a lot, part of the regression. Rosie Nix, former Pro Bowler as a special teamer and fullback. You know, he was a versatile guy too. You could. He looked like a bowling ball out there sometimes with the hits he would make on special teams, and a good blocker. And you know, that's part of the problem here. Last season, you didn't have Nix at all. You really didn't have a fullback. They've thrown Tyson Alualu out there before as a fullback. So the Steelers are still trying to find their way. Does it mean Matt Canada is going to use a fullback exclusively? I'm sorry, you know. Your dad's Steelers with Bam Morris, Barry Foster, getting, you know, you had Dan Kreider or what, Tim Lester or, you know, even, you know, not, I'm not going to say Rosie Nix, but yeah, Dan Kreider, there's your good example. I'm trying to think who else was back there too, but over the years. And, you know, with Jerome Bettis and I formation, just lining up and do it, the NFL has evolved and changed. I mean, if you can recognize that the Steelers should get a guy, a mobile quarterback like Deshaun Watson. And let's face it, Dwayne Haskins is a pocket passer, okay? I understand that sometimes we tend to think African-American quarterbacks all run the football. It doesn't, you know, what about Josh Allen? He doesn't fit the same build as what you would think is your stereotypical, just throwing it out there with the labels, quarterback, mobile quarterback. So Dwayne Haskins ran like a 504 or something. I just had to throw that out there because I've been seeing that a lot too. Oh, well, they got a guy that's like mobile. He's not much more mobile than, you know, it's hard to not be more mobile maybe than Mason Rudolph or even Ben at this stage of the game. But he's not. He's a pocket passer. I'm an Ohio State guy. I follow Ohio State. I'm just telling you how it is. So, but to recognize that you might want a mobile quarterback like a Deshaun Watson, and then not realize that the NFL has moved on from just the jumbo set. You're going to use it like goal line and short yardage situation. It's situational football. So that fullback has to do something else besides just be a fullback. You're not going to roster just a fullback. I think that's what people have overlooked is that I almost called him DJ Watt. He doesn't go by DJ, even though that's his initials. Derek Watt just wasn't available. He was hurt too, banged up as well. You just pile up these injuries the last couple of years with the running backs and the fullbacks between Nix, Watt, Connor, Snell. Snell banged up too. So that doesn't help. It certainly doesn't help. Offensive line, not very cohesive this year. A lot of moving parts as well. Like I said, Ramon Foster moved on. Your right tackle situation flipped immediately from one new guy in Banner from week one to Okorafor. I thought Okorafor did a pretty solid job for what he was tasked with. And Dotson was moving in and out there. You had Hassenauer come in for Pouncey at center and then play at guard. And so you didn't always have the same lineup of those horses up front. So, but to recognize all of that and then not acknowledge that you just aren't going to have a fullback in there for, you know, 30 snaps a game. Come on, you got to get with the program here. That's why I said this episode was all about just craziness and stupid trades. And I think the worst of these, aside from trying to go get a Carson Wentz, get a Deshaun Watson. Again, I wouldn't hate Watson. Watson would look fantastic. If it could be done, some witchcraft. Get him in a black and gold uniform. I'm not going to complain. Love Deshaun Watson. I love J.J. Watt too. J.J. Watt has had his injury issues. He also has a very, very hefty price tag. He also happens to be a position. Now, at least with Watson, you're going to argue that Ben's not going to play forever. Maybe his best days are behind him. You may also make that argument that his successor is not on the roster right now. All valid points, all fair, right? So Watson, I could see that. I could see people trying to clamor for somebody like that. JJ Watt, don't need him. Is he going to like slim down and play outside linebacker in place of Bud Dupree? Why not just pay Bud Dupree that money? So which defensive end is he going to come in and play for? Cam Hayward, around the same age, just as productive, if not more productive in recent years, mostly on account of JJ's injury history. You're going to have him come in for Stephon Tuitt? He broke double-digit sacks this year. And two of the higher-paid players on the Steelers roster, both of which probably are going to be targeted to try and free up some money and have in the past with restructures in order to do something with that salary cap. But J.J. Watt, I get it. It would be really cool. Get all the Watt brothers on one team. I'd rather have all the Edmonds, to be honest. Let's get Tremaine in there. Put him next to Devin Bush. Woo, buddy. Although that almost became Devin Bush if he would have been available. But he's the top inside linebacker prospect of that draft. He and Leighton Vander Esch. Brothers, brother, 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 brother. All these brothers, right? You had them all play in the same games twice this year, actually, the Watts and the Edmonds, with the Bills and the Texans being Steelers opponents, right? So JJ's just too expensive. He's around the same age as Hayward. You're not going to pay that guy that much money to be a rotational, situational player or to sit one of your other guys that have done so well for you that you're also paying a lot of money. It's just not. I see the arguments. Oh, he may take a price reduction in order to come and hang out and have a Permani sandwich with his brothers. Maybe. By the way, if you ever end up in Pittsburgh and you run into JJ and TJ's dad, I've seen him, not with a Permani sandwich, but he's been on the Strip District there. You'll know him if you see him, okay? I'm not going to out one of the places he was eating at, because then all of you crazy suckers are going to go out there and bother the guy. But anyways, could he come for a family reunion? Why would a guy that's already had a career that he's had be looking to take a discount and then not be in a major starting role? I just don't see it. I really don't. I don't even really see him leaving Houston. Maybe he plays a couple more years and then he's done. I don't know. I really can't say. That's all up for him. I could be surprised, but I'm just hedging my bets based on that gut feeling of what goes on in the league and this and that. It would be unprecedented. No, they didn't sign Derek just to try and lure JJ over. No, that didn't happen. But I remember a while ago when everyone was mocking the Steelers for taking TJ Watt, who nobody was mocking there. This guy could have been a second round pick. They could have got him in the third round. They're only picking him because of his last name. And now everybody wants JJ here because TJ has exceeded. He's just, JJ handed the baton over to TJ, and now we see what TJ's doing. So I just think it's a little bit of nonsense. I said it in the title here. I said stupid trades. I don't like to call anybody stupid, but let's face it, some of this stuff is just stupid. It's ridiculous. I just can't get on board with it. As cool as it would be, that's about where it ends. There's just too many other factors at play to try and slide one of these other guys in there. I didn't think Stafford was going to happen. It didn't. I don't want Carson Wentz to happen. I, again, love Deshaun Watson. It's just not realistic. JJ being here, completing the Watt trifecta. Okay, that would be pretty darn cool. Just not, it's a fantasy football thing. I just don't see it happening. So I hope you see where I'm coming from. And I'm sure this will happen too. Might as well get ahead of this. I don't think Le'Veon Bell would come back to the Steelers. We had this conversation about a year ago as to whether the Jets would cut him, his dead cap and stuff like that. And I made a comment earlier, and I meant to insert it here or there instead of at the end of the show here, but he'll be a free agent. There's no doubt in my mind. But I think are his best days behind him? Maybe. Was that time off enough to keep him fresh? He hasn't had a whole lot of carries. Maybe. Could he still have success with the Steelers? Maybe. What kind of contract is he looking? Is he looking to get paid, or is he just kind of at the point of his career now that maybe he'll have a ring after Sunday and call it quits? I don't know. Maybe he'll feel comfortable with that. Seems to be very conscientious about how banged up his body might get. And football's a brutal game. Let's make no bones about it. There's young men that are retiring earlier and earlier than usual. They make their money and they get out instead of, having the neck that they can't turn around. It's real stiff or something like that, aching bones and things of that nature. Unless your name's Tom Brady, and then he doesn't get hit a whole lot anyway, so he hasn't really been feeling the pain like some other guys may have. Plus, let's face it, he's got the money to just invest in his body and do whatever with. And his position, maybe not as brutal, especially when the referees always throw the flags when they pull at his skirt. So, ba-dum, hiss. So, yeah, let's get ahead of that. I think just by Bill's comments that he made, I don't know if that was today, yesterday, or something earlier this, just this Super Bowl week with all of these press conferences and interviews. I would take that as he has no interest in being back with the Steelers. And if the Steelers were to do something like that, where are they going to find the money? Would you? I guess I'll pose this in the comments section. Given the way that Steelers, we talked about the run game, the offensive line, and the way it's gone as of the last couple of seasons, would you rather, because James Conner is going to be a free agent here, I'll pose the question. Would you rather, my kid plays this game, would you rather have Le'Veon Bell come back? Or bring James Conner back, re-signing him. Interesting question. I already know what some of you crazy. You're crazy. Najee Harris. Talking about Najee Harris, Alabama. Yeah, I got a lot to say about that, and I've got something queued up for SteelCityUnderground.com about it too, and then it'll be something that will be discussed here on the podcast. Bigger pressing needs than drafting a running back with that first round pick. But I'm not saying that they won't go running back. I'm just saying I think there's other areas you want to go to before just. I think they think this guy's going to drag people around like Jerome Bettis. Very well could be. Derrick Henry, this still good offensive line, Tennessee. Okay. So there's a lot of mitigating factors there. All good discussion points for a future episode. So make sure you tune in. Thank you for tuning in to this one, and you could be guaranteed to get notified if you subscribe to the show, like, comment, let me know, Bell or Connor. I'd forgive Bell. I just don't know that that same patience, Marcus Allen style run thing with especially a new offensive coordinator. We're beyond Randy Fichtner now, who was at the beginning of that. I don't know that that works the same way a few years later. With different players, different guys playing those positions, as well as different positional coaches too. So I'll just say that my would you rather would definitely be James Conner, although I think the third option is just going to be entirely to be determined. So I already pleaded with you with the like, comment, and subscribe. And folks, hopefully. See you again soon here. Brian will be back with us as well. My name is Joe, and until next time, as always, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.